Welcome back to another episode of the Rotten Apple Sports Podcast. This is your boy Larry, aka Lurk. As always, I'm joined by my guys Will and Los. And this week, we got a very special guest joining us, a doctor of physical therapy, a sports scientist, Dr. Rajpal Brar. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Jacob DeGrom's recent injury. He was diagnosed with a stress reaction in his right scapula. And we're also going to do an MLB preview for the season before opening day.
To really understand New York sports, you gotta breathe it, live it, experience it. Whether you're watching DeGrom strike out batters at Citi Field, or watching Randall Barrett and the Knicks at the Garden, heck, even watching KD, Kyrie, or Harden drop 50 in Brooklyn. Whether you're a Yankees fan, Rangers fan, Giants fan, Jets fan, or even an Islanders fan, there's one thing they all got in common. They represent this city, just like this podcast does. Rotten Apple Sports. Tune in.
How's everybody doing?
Doing great, man. Excited. Tomorrow's opening day. Another new season, new hope. So hopefully new things eternal for both teams in New York.
Very excited, as always, when it comes to baseball. The Jacob DeGrom news got me a little nervous, but, you know, putting that aside, it's like the first day of school for me, so I love it. Well, guys, like we were talking about, it's that time again. Baseball season starts tomorrow, and I don't know if you guys seen, but the American League and National League win projections came out via Fangraphs and Zips, and I gotta be honest, first glance, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't say I agree with. I found it interesting. I know you guys are looking at the same projections. So, you know, let's get to it. Let's start with the American League.
Before we get started, how do y'all feel about the fact that they don't have no team projected to win 100 games? We had three teams win over 100 games last year.
It's conservative. I don't see how have no teams winning 100. It's crazy. Very conservative.
Yeah, I think it's really conservative. Very, very conservative. I know we're going to talk about some of the win losses, but yeah, that stands out immediately. But then again, just overall, looking at the division winners and how many wins they got, it's not even that they don't have guys that won 100 games. There's not many teams that even get to 90. So I find that very, very conservative.
And the crazy part about that in the American League, if you look at projection-wise, there's only one team they have, right, at 90 wins. And you would think that maybe because it's a division factor, they're thinking about division, how these teams are probably going to beat each other up, how competitive it's going to be. Maybe that's why they're looking at it. But the one division that doesn't have it is the AL West. That's the only team that I see with a 90-win team, which is crazy to me.
All right, let's start closer to home. Let's start with the American League East, division of the hometown New York Yankees. They didn't win it last year. Tampa won the division last year. The Blue Jays and the Yankees were neck and neck for second place in the division. So just going off of these projections, they have a four-way tie between the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Tampa, all at 88 and 74. Now, that's the first thing I noticed. I'm going to start with the Blue Jays because that's the team I'm predicting to win the American League East. 88 games to me is very, very low. I'm closer to 98 myself, and it's because of two reasons. One, they improved their pitching via free agency and via trade the last year and a half. And two, it's going to be very important. They play in Canada, and there's guys on every team that aren't vaccinated. Who these guys are, we don't know yet, but there are chances that they're going to have advantages almost every game, especially in division with the Yankees, who we're going to get to in a little bit. But just the fact that a lot of teams are going to be shorthanded against Toronto at their home games. That alone, with all the improvements they made, like I said, they're closer to 98 wins to me.
I think Toronto wins over 100 games, to be honest. I think they're one of the teams that take the leap this year. everything you just said, right? And they won 91 games last year. And all they did was get better. And now there's a vaccine mandate. Everything is working in their favor for them to make a run this year.
They added pitching. They added good pitching. They added, you know, they got offensive pieces. I don't understand how you would look at this team and say they only win 88 games. To me, like I said, it's 100 and be careful that they don't stride, because I think this team has the capabilities to get to the World Series, to be honest with you. And I don't know if it's a conservative, maybe because the division is tough and you got four teams in the division that'll probably beat each other up, and they didn't want to go out and just say somebody was going to win 100 games. But to have them at 88, that's extremely too low.
And like I said, they're tied with the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Tampa. So, I mean, if you guys want to move on, let's just say to Boston. Boston, I think, are closer to an 88-win team because I think they played over their heads last year, and I think they're dealing with pitching issues. And a bad rotation in that division is a bad place to be. When you look at, you know, the Blue Jays lineup, which we mentioned, and we know about the Yankee lineup.
And don't forget the Rays. Team.
Word. I just don't think they have the pitching to compete. Yeah. You know, the Rays are always competing. I just don't think the Red Sox have the rotation.
Yo, did y'all hear that the Yankees are going to be selling chopped cheeses at Yankee Stadium this year? The Yankees are adding halal guys and chopped cheeses. You know what that means? That means they're going to win at least 95 games. That means they also gonna. Here's that also thing, means though. That they're gonna lose in the wild card. They're gonna lose in the wild card. I think the Blue Jays win the division. Yankees lose in the wild card because they all out of shape from eating mad chopped cheeseburgers with extra ketchup and mayonnaise. But that's fire, bro. Like, I'm mad at the Mets. I'm about to be at Yankee Stadium a lot this summer.
I want to know how much these chopped cheese are gonna cost, though.
$38,
bro. It's on a Kaiser bun. They you paying at least $15.50. Without taxes. And the wack shit is you can't even get a bag of chips with it. Usually you go to Muhammad, you get a bag of chips and a soda with that, and you good to go. Now you're gonna be getting, and you don't even spend $10 to do all that. You're gonna get it from Joey with no Lowry seasoned salt.
Nothing. You're lucky if you get napkins with that, bro.
That's oh man. Can you imagine a white guy named Joey making you a chopped cheese? I would be offended.
Let's talk about Boston. And I think out of between the Rays, Toronto, and the Yankees, I have them last in that group. Because I never rule out a team that's managed by Alex Cora because he always seems to get the best out of his players. But I just don't like their pitching. Chris Sale is out until we don't know when. They say it could be June. We don't really know. And that rotation, I don't like nothing about it, to be honest with you. How much can you push the top of that rotation? There's nothing in the back end. I'm not a big fan of their bullpen. So if you can't pitch in that division, you're gonna get hammered. So I can see them, like you said, in that 87, 88 win total this year in that division.
How y'all feel about the Orioles? I'm 64 wins. I feel like that's a lot, to be honest.
Here's the thing, you look at it and you say, that's a lot of losses. 98 losses, that's a lot of losses. But then you sit back and you see how bad they really are. And it's not even how bad they are, to be honest. It's the fact that they're going against these four teams. I feel bad for them, you know, because they're probably in another division. Like, let's say they were in the AL West, maybe. Maybe they have a chance to win more games. But like you said, Tampa. Tampa is the wild card every year to me. Not in that they're going to win the wild card, but in the way that they find the way to compete. So 64-98 for the Baltimore Orioles, I think that seems about right. You know,
I'll tell you this much.
Talk about the Orioles being bad and they stink. They seem to always beat the Yankees. They always seem to give Toronto a hard time. That's a team that – 60. It looks like a lot. It looks like a lot, but they're in a division that's loaded, and they do got talent. They got Cedric Mullins. Yeah. They got John Means.
This is also a team that in the last three full MLB seasons, if you take out the COVID lockout on the COVID shortened season, they've lost at over 100 games for the last 3 years. So when I look at 98 losses, I don't look at that as a lot for the Orioles. Maybe if it was another team, but 98 losses for the Orioles seems like that doesn't feel like that's probably like the least conservative record on this entire graphic. But can we move on to the Central now? The White Sox are my favorite team in the American League. The White Sox are my favorite team in the American League. I just wanted to get that out of my system.
I like the White Sox too. White Sox have a lot of power.
Everybody loves the White Sox.
No, I don't love the White Sox. They're just my favorite team in the American League right now.
I'm just saying from like good young players, exciting players, they're a complete team. And I think they're easily the best team in this division. You know, I think this is one of these divisions that Fangraphs has them winning the division by 5 games. I think they win by closer to 7 to 10. You know, I like the Twins, but I don't think the Twins have enough pitching to compete with the White Sox. So I don't think this is going to be one of these division races that go down to the wire. I just think the White Sox are head and shoulders above the competition.
Yeah, Minnesota's gonna give them comp. They're gonna give them comp. They'll be there during the summer. They'll stay competitive, with the extra wild card and the extra teams getting in, they'll be there around that area to meet during the trading deadline. So they'll be there, but they won't outlast the White Sox. I think the White Sox have far beyond the better talent in the division. They have power hitters, young power hitters. They have good pitching. They have a lethal bullpen. I think they are far from beyond better team in the division. Minnesota's there. They have talent. They are very good, but I don't think good enough to overtake the White Sox.
Yeah, I think basically these projections, for me at least, are for the teams as of they are right now. Like, you know, come the deadline, we could re-look at it and see what teams have done. But like I said, head and shoulders above the rest. I do, you know, want to mention the Cleveland Guardians. It's going to take a while for me to get used to calling any team the Guardians. But, you know, they signed Jose Ramirez today to an extension. Thank God, because I'm sick of these teams letting their best players go. And it's a respectable deal. He could have probably gotten even more. And I hate giving teams credit for doing the bare minimum. But at least, you know, because a couple of days ago, I saw they were talking with the Padres. So at least they kept their best player, and, you know, good for the fans of Cleveland. You know, nobody wants to be Oakland.
What do you get? What's that contract looking like?
I think it was.
Let me see if I can think. I believe it was 5/124, but then they added another year. I don't know if it's a year he had already, but it came out to about 6/150, I guess, total.
I feel like he deserves more than that.
No. I think he took a hometown discount to stay. And, you know, that's on him. No problem with that. But at least they kept their player. They were, you know, I saw rumors that the Padres were trying to get him. So
he deserved Lindor money, if we're being honest. Like, if Lindor got what he got, he deserves something along those lines.
Here's the thing, though. Lindor got the money basically because, you know, it's the Mets and they were going to, you know, they were going to pay to keep them. And two, let's be honest, the shortstop position, you know, when you play center field, when you play shortstop, when you're a starting pitcher, you get a lot of money for positions that you normally won't get at other positions, you know? So I think that had a lot to do with Lindor getting the money, which is fine. You know, certain positions come with a prior price tag, in my opinion, but he's a great player. And, you know, Don't sleep on the Tigers, you know, not to win the division or anything, but they got young, exciting players, young guys they're bringing up. They got fan favorite of yours and mine, Javier Baez. You know, they got Miggy at the end, and they made a big improvement last year.
When you say Miggy at the end, you mean like the end of the ropes? Because that man is down bad. Like, I don't know why he's still – Why has he not retired?
Well, he's got money left over. He's trying to break some records.
Yeah, that man can't stay on his feet. He got Darren Williams' feet.
Damn.
Oh, Miguel, he's close to a couple milestones this year. But if he can hit those, he's probably gonna retire.
I respect his grind, though. I respect his grind. It's like, yo, bro, just when I say I want him to give it up, it's not because he's trash. It's because he's old and he's breaking down. Like,
he didn't do, at least, you know why I respect him? Because at least he still gives you something on the field. He ain't trying to do, and I love him. Like, I love the player I'm about to mention.
Albert Pujols?
Bro. What are we doing now?
Bro.
We're just standing around just collecting bats? What are we doing?
I'd rather not speak on Pujols because this last couple of days have been real shaky to me. I'm going to leave it at that. I'd rather not, you know.
I'm not touching that.
Oh, you're going to have, y'all going to have to. Y'all going to have to.
I'm not touching that.
Y'all going to have to.
I refuse to touch it.
We're going to be talking about that team in a few minutes.
Oh, I can't.
All right, I'll tell you how I feel because I have strong feelings about it.
All right, so let's just forget about the Royals and move on to the AL West and start with the Los Angeles Angels. Let's get into this. I want to hear this.
All right, the AL West. So basically, you're talking about the Houston Astros who won the division.
Oh, I don't care. Nobody cares about the Houston Astros. We want to know about Pujols and the Angels.
He's in St. Louis, so we gotta.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I forgot. He went back.
We have a while to go, so we have to wait.
All right, so we're moving on to the NL West. You know
Larry, before we go, I honestly don't know if you know what we're talking about when it comes to Pujols, but I'll let you know.
I don't. That's why I want to get into this.
Okay.
Pause.
Okay.
Let's go to the AL West. So they got the Astros with the division with 90 games, the most projected wins in this graph whatsoever. That division was basically Houston and Oakland. Oakland is trash this year. They stink. And Seattle's an up-and-coming team. They got good players. They got Julio Rodriguez who's coming up. He's going to be a stud. So they're going to be competitive, but not good enough to beat the Astros, I think, this year. The Astros, still, regardless of what they got, they're going to have Jeremy Pena. They're going to have Jose Siri. All these young guys take over the Correa mantle. These guys are good. They're studs. I don't think Houston misses a beat. They have the pitching. They have the bullpen. I think Houston wins the division as well this year.
Yeah, I think Houston wins the division. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of want Seattle to win the division. They haven't made the playoffs in a long, long time. I'm kind of sick of the Astros, and you know, and that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing when a team makes the playoffs all the time, and you know they always winning. You get sick of them. So Seattle, you know, got some old former Met farmhands. And Seattle became like my West Coast team to watch every once in a while last year. So, like you said, I think the Astros are the class of the division. Fangraphs, like you also said, has them at 90 wins, which was the most in the National League, which obviously I don't agree with. I think the Blue Jays are going to win the most games in the American League. But, yeah, man, no Correa, no problem. Astros are still going to win the division. I mentioned Seattle. I think Seattle is going to come in second place. And then there's the Angels, the Rangers, and the Athletics. The Athletics, there's nothing to talk about. I will leave it with this, though. Oakland is one of those teams that they find a way. They have guys you never heard of, and maybe they'll win some games. You know, maybe some of these prospects they traded for come up. You know, they've done it before. This is their, you know,
Lose. I would agree with you with that, but they lost. So much top end talent.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's hard. No,
no
matter how many guys you bring up, it's hard to replace that. It's very hard.
Can I mention something that I saw John Heyman tweet about a week ago, and it was disgusting? I believe it was 1991. The Oakland A's led the Major League Baseball in payroll with $33 million. It was the highest payroll in baseball in 1991. In the year 2022, the Oakland A's payroll is $33 million, the same as it was in 1991, and it led the league. And that's disgusting. And Heyman said that this was by design. So, you know what? You want to get a new ballpark?
This is fucking hilarious.
And the toilet, somebody reported that the toilets in the stadium are clogged. What a doo-doo.
Oh, God. Remember the dugout?
Didn't have
oh,
a problem God. With opening day and the toilets and all that. So the sewage, the clubhouse, the players can't shower because the sewage is mixing with the water, shower water. It's unbelievable.
They got
it's not good.
They got to – they like us in Highbridge. After we play basketball, we got to go pay for our sodas and our Snapples. They don't get nothing.
It's terrible,
yo,
man.
That's you know crazy. What? So who's going to be a worse team this year, the Orioles or the Athletics?
Oh, the Orioles. It's not even close.
I still think it's the Orioles. The Yankees, the Blue Jays,
and they
the
move
Sox
and they move the
them.
Fences.
Wait, but yeah, but y'all were both talking like the Orioles are going to win more than 64 games.
No. I'm just saying
they are.
But all right, but Will is talking like the Athletics are going to lose more than 68 games.
No. I'm not saying
they're going to win less. That you will talking like they're going to win less than 68 games, the Athletics.
No, they'll win. I think they might even win more than 68 games just because of the, you know, the team is, for some reason, they stay competitive. But I don't think the way Los is saying that they always stay in the hunt. I don't think they will this year. I think they'll be a bottom end team in the division because it was a lot of top end talent. When you get rid of Canna, Marte, Manaya, Bassett, those are that's a lot of talent you got rid of. You can't replace that in one season, and they don't spend. So it's not like they're gonna say, "Oh, we're in it in August. We're gonna go get somebody." They're not. They don't spend on their own stadium. They're not gonna spend on players. So to me, I think the Orioles, regardless of the fact, will still be the worst team because they're facing top-end talent in that division. Those are four monsters they got to go against, and it's over, man. It's over right now. Like, the season ended already, and it's not even the first pitch. That's how crazy it is.
What about the Angels, though? They got them at 500.
I think
they're the only team they got at 500, right?
No, the Mariners. Remember, the Mariners are over 500 there. They're 85 in what is it?
No. I'm saying I think this is the only team on the whole graphic that they projected to go 500. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're at 500. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the. I think, you know, Joe Maddon, he's overrated as a manager. Their pitching sucks. It's just basically Ohtani and Trout, and then nothing else on that team. Then you could beat them. What are they going to hit? 70 home runs each. They can't. Ohtani could pitch, but then that's it. They got no pitching. Syndergaard?
Syndergaard, never heard of him.
They have Rendon. Rendon can still hit, you know. Ooh. But I agree with you with the pitching, and they've tried to fix the bullpen. I'm not sure if they did, you know.
Yeah, they got
bullpens are hitting.
Guy from the Mets. From the Mets.
It's not just the guy they got from the Mets. They got a couple other guys. But here's the thing. I don't think it mattered.
The Mets would give this guy $1 trillion to come out of the bullpen because he had one good year.
Who, Aaron Loop? You gotta understand. I was on my way to see Chappelle that night, and I was late and on the Metro North, and this thing comes on right about when I'm about to lose reception, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know, it wasn't about just like losing the play, it was a situation around that day. But you know what? It's fuck the Angels anyway. Fuck their owner, because he didn't want to vote for Steve Cohen to get the ownership. Fuck the owner because he wanted to put the Steve Cohen tax, and it's fuck the Angels. I don't care about them. Nobody stays up to 10 o'clock at night to watch them.
They suck. We're gonna switch over now to the National League. We're gonna start backwards on the West Coast, and then we'll hit the East. So we're gonna start on the NL West. Obviously, perennial World Series contender and favorites, the Los Angeles Dodgers, projected by the graph to finish with 93 wins. Obviously, we think that's extremely low for the Dodgers, who are north of almost 100 to me. Last year, they almost won 100, right? And the team wasn't as good as this one. I know the pitching is a concern, and it will be. Don't get it twisted. The pitching is going to be a concern because you got to pitch, and the rotation is not 100%. But they always find a way to go get somebody because that's the Dodger way. And they'll stick them in the rotation. Kershaw's health is a problem because you gotta worry about him. He's an older guy. But they still win 100 games. The division is putrid. Aside from the Giants, Colorado Rockies, the Padres, I have no confidence in. Without Tatis for I don't know how long, the pitching is okay. But, the Dodgers, to me, hands down, the runaway favorite in that division.
Yeah, and I don't Dodgers, have no argument against that.
There's nothing to be said about the Dodgers. They're, you know, like you said, the rotation may a question mark, but they're hitting, their lineup is great. They have a great lineup, you know. So
Dodgers in that division. If you like the Colorado Rockies or whatever it is, you basically
they got Chris Bryant.
I like the Padres, to be honest. I like the Padres. They gotta stay healthy though. If they could get healthy and stay healthy, that Padres team is dangerous.
Especially if they trade for
Dom Smith.
It's that rotation the rotation from the Padres. I like the rotation. They're deep. They got a nice rotation. What are you getting from Eric Hosmer? What are you getting from the second baseman? Like, those are questions you got to ask, because you don't know what you're getting from those guys. The outfield is shaky. You know, it's offensive production is going to be a problem. So you got to really worry about what you're going to get from the Padres. And Tatis's injury is legit, so you don't really know when he's coming back.
Yeah, man, the Padres are just in the wrong division at the wrong time. They're a really good team. They got a really good rotation. And I think they got enough hitting right now. And when they, you know, like you said, when Tatis comes back, it's like the Mets adding the Grom whenever the Grom gets back. And one thing about the Padres, they looking to improve all the time. They constantly looking to make moves, constantly looking to improve. That's why I was afraid they were going to get Jose Ramirez, because they don't play no games, you know. They set out to look to get some players and look to fix a certain part of the team, and that's what they do. So, and they're going to be in it the whole season. They're going to be in it the whole season.
Respectfully, we're not going to talk about Arizona or Colorado, because that's just wasting our saliva. Both teams are basically batting practice for the Dodgers and Giants in that division. They're not going to go anywhere. They're just going to be there just to be there. Fans will go to the ballpark just for fun. That's just basically that's it.
I don't know what you're saving your saliva for, but I guess let's talk about the Cardinals.
Oh, here we go. St. Louis Cardinals, right? Projected by the graph to win 88 games, right? Division winner. They predicted to win division winner. You have offseason addition. They brought back, you know, fan favorite and Hall of Famer and Cardinal of all time, Albert Pujols, will be manning the DH spot. The Cardinals are a dangerous team. I know Los will agree with me, Tyler O'Neill and all those guys. They can hit. They're always in the hunt. You know, they're pitching a little suspect with Jack Flaherty being hurt, but they're going to hit. I know we're going to get to Albert Pujols in about 2 seconds.
You mad disrespectful, bro. He said Tyler O'Neill and those guys, like, they don't got Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado on that team. Like, you know, that's...
They do. Like I said, they got Arenado's there, Goldschmidt. They got Molina, who always hits. Those guys are going to be good. So, Albert Pujols is back, right? So, he's back. They decided to give him a farewell tour. He wasn't good last year with the Dodgers when he was there. Had a rough ending with the Angels. It didn't end well. Went to winter ball. He looked 90 years old. I'm not sure what the Cardinals really doing here. They wasted their DH spot, but I guess it's some sentimental value. Also, we're going to hit about Albert Pujols. His wife comes out and says that she has brain cancer. And your man that says, I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with people with cancer. I'm not dealing with nobody with brain cancer. You old, I'm out. First of all, he's a piece of shit scumbag. Let me tell you that right now. And I don't care who's on here, who listens to nothing. The guy is a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. Your wife comes out who's dying of cancer, who has a tumor in her brain, and you decide the next day, whoa, we can't mitigate our marriage. I'm out of here. Just because he's back in St. Louis. She rode with him through all those rough years when he sucked. And he was just there sucking. Sucking. He went back and sucked on Molina's meat so he can get a spot on the Cardinals.
because the Cardinals treated him like shit. And now he decided he wants to leave his wife with cancer. What kind of man is that? First of all, my man, let me tell you something. You got no balls whatsoever. You got zero balls. You're a piece of shit. That's what you are. Unbelievable that your wife now battling cancer on her own and you leaving her because you decided that you want to do your own thing. You are a scumbag. All right, you guys know what
they're saying? Yeah, I don't even want to cut you off, but the first thing I saw was she said he left her in the bedroom throwing up because she just had chemo. And even when he made his little announcement, it sounded like shit. He's like, oh, I'm sorry because it's opening day tomorrow. Who the hell cares if it's opening day tomorrow? You just left your wife.
And like, you're going to play anyways. You stink.
That's bad, man.
What a piece of
He garbage. Said, oh, I know it's bad timing. Like, come on, man.
No, wow. the left me in the room throwing up from chemo thing, that wasn't her. That was somebody that they was talking about. Somebody else's story they was talking about in the same article. She just had surgery to have a tumor removed from her brain. And that was what, like a week or two ago? And that was what, last week, right?
Yeah, I think it was days after. It
was last week. And then stayed to throw in that piece of shit Instagram post where he says they have... After 22 years, I decided that we needed to go our separate ways. Unreconcilable differences.
But
the reconcilable differences is that she got cancer and you didn't want to deal with it. That's the difference. You scumbag, bald-headed bastard.
Again, it's disgusting. The part that makes me, like, I don't laugh because it's funny. I laugh because it's cringy as fuck. Is when he says, oh, yeah, you know. It's bad timing because of spring training. I mean, because of opening day. No, it's not. We know why it's bad timing. And we know why you look bad. It's because you deserve to look bad. I'm sorry.
Now he wants to hide over his devout Christian cape. Don't give me that nonsense. I don't want to hear about you being a devout Christian. If you're a devout Christian, you wouldn't leave your wife leaving like that. You piece of garbage. For that, I hope the Cardinals don't win the division. They lose it. I hope they don't fucking make the playoffs. I think his retirement could be a whole waste of time.
Well, I don't know about you guys. Pujols or not, Cardinals or not, I think the Brewers are going to win the division. I hate the Cardinals for other reasons going back, you know, to 06 and everything. But, you know, I still think the Brewers are going to win the division.
When are the Cardinals at Citi Field this year? That should be a rotten apple.
A remote?
Remote broadcast from Citi Field from the first base side.
Too bad they don't got a McFadden's anymore. We could have recorded from McFadden's, and it probably would have been short because he probably would have got kicked out.
Oh yeah.
And now they got the facial scans. You got to watch out. They might not let your ass back in.
Ever again.
Larry, you hear about these facial scans they're gonna be having in Citi Field now? You don't need a physical ticket.
What's that about?
You don't need a physical ticket anymore. They scan in your biometrics.
Yeah, no ticket, just a face.
I find it a little shaky, but you know, this is a new technology.
But what is somebody? But how is that gonna work with tickets that get resold?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
They got to work on, but I already saw the machine too. It's crazy.
But The Cardinals will be at Citi Field for 4 days from May 16th to the 19th.
That sounds like one of those days we'll be live from Citi Field, Mike et al. From the first baseline. What a piece of garbage that guy is. Unbelievable, man. I've seen dirt and I've read stories of shit, but he takes the cake. He definitely does.
I don't know, man. Tiki Barber.
Oh, Tiki.
That's all I care. I ain't gonna lie. Like, while I'm learning about this, for those of you listening, as he mentioned earlier, I did not know what was going on. I just so happened to get tired of waiting for them to get to the Albert Pujols tea. So I Googled it and just started skimming through a bunch of articles while we were recording. And my God, all I kept thinking was Tiki Barber must be smiling right now. Like, yeah, nobody's gonna be talking about me for a while. But These guys are scumbags.
They are.
This is disgusting behavior. I don't know if you guys, even if she didn't have all this done, bro, like, you should have, like, this isn't something that you just talk about at a fucking baseball conference. Like you getting divorced, your divorce should not have been announced to the media that's covering
on Instagram,
you.
Man.
This is crazy, bro. Like, whether your wife was going through whatever she's going through with her health or not, you don't do that. And now that just makes it even worse that she has all this stuff going on, just had brain surgery a few days before that. God bless her. I hope she's good. But, yo, that's wild. Back to baseball, though. What makes you think the Brewers win this division, Los?
I just think their pitching, their rotation, and their bullpen is really good.
And I love their pitching
style. It's going to lock down games, and it's going to keep them in games where the offense doesn't hit. Not saying that their offense isn't good, but their rotation and their bullpen, it just makes up for the lack of offense they're having. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Yelich bounces back, but, you know, with that back problem, he's had a down year or two. So, overall, just it's really simple. Just their pitching. Their pitching is the reason I think that they win the division.
And that division. Basically,
it's really two-team division. Just to remind the viewers via Fangraphs, they have the Cardinals winning the division at 88-74, and they have the Brewers at 87-75. So I completely disagree with that one. We could talk about the Cubs, Reds, or Pirates. I don't think we need to.
Respectfully,
you know.
And, the Cubs and Reds, they stink. And the Pirates, who... Give me 5 minutes on the Pirates real quick, because the Pirates, firsthand, because I go to Pittsburgh a lot, and I visit Pittsburgh, the city of Pittsburgh, and I feel for them because the fans really want a good baseball team in Pittsburgh, and they support the team. But Bob Nutting, the owner, is a piece of shit. You're going to tell me you're not going to invest in your own team? So you're crying poor, my man. The since you bought the team, it's like five times what you paid for it. So obviously you're making an investment. You're not investing in the team. You're making fans go to the ballpark and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on tickets, and you every year are going to feed them a sack of shit. He's one of the guys that had an issue with the players getting more money and the Cohen tax. Meanwhile, look at his payroll. And look at the team he's putting on the field. He's a fucking disgrace. Every year the Pirates pick last. With great fans, because the fans of Pittsburgh are great. I'll tell you that firsthand. They're really good. They deserve better. And until they don't sell that team, he doesn't sell the team, it's not going to change. He's a cancer.
I just want to say I've never been to Pittsburgh, but I hear it's the nicest... feel the nicest stadium there is out there, man, between that and San Francisco. So I would like to go to one of these games soon. Maybe I will. But then again, why the fuck am I giving this trash ass owner any of my money?
Yeah, the only team you should be spending money on in Pittsburgh is the Penguins. But I like the Chicago Cubs this year. I think the Cubs are going to surprise people. I think they're going to win more than 80 games. I'm kind of surprised that they have them at 77. They're supposed to have inside scoop on how good this team. Like, they got some prospects that's going to be coming up. They did a good job in free agency. I'm looking forward to Stroman looking like he's on the Blue Jays again and not like how he did when he was on the Mets. Like, I want him to be bad and inconsistent.
Thinking about...
Wait. Stroman was okay here. He couldn't control his mouth.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying Stroman did good on the field. And that was a crazy comment. That was wild. I got to stop and say that real quick. That was wild behavior. But no, that's what I'm saying is that I don't want Stroman to be good like he was in New York. I want him to struggle like he did in Toronto.
Stroman already said he wants to go to the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. Wow, disrespectful.
The season hasn't started yet. He's already said he wants to pitch for the Giants.
Jeez.
Wait, I missed that. What?
Yeah. He was on a radio station or a podcast or something, and he's like, yeah, you know, San Francisco, I would like to play there. You haven't even pitched one game yet for Chicago. One.
Yo, that's worse than LeBron going on the shop talking about he wants to play with Steph.
He liked the tweet about DeGrom getting hurt.
Oh.
He thinks he's slow.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that. That's disgusting, man.
Yo, there's people that be dead ass just hunting down every tweet that Marcus Stroman likes. Yo, it's sad obsessive behavior, Will.
But doesn't
you need
he,
a hobby? You need a hobby.
Wait. But he's known for blocking like 85% of the people. So I don't know who even sees his shit.
I haven't been blocked yet. I'm one of the lucky ones.
I can't believe it because everybody's blocked you. So I'm surprised I haven't heard of him yet.
So that's the problem. I kept the PG.
Jesus. I'm still blocked on the field, so I fuck with him.
Yeah, no,
he wear a durag when he pitched, so I fuck with him.
Bro, I don't got a problem with Marcus Stroman. I think Marcus Stroman's cool. I just think he needs
a bird.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to control himself.
Yeah, I don't like the way he handled leaving the Mets in free agency.
And he talked all that nonsense and shit, like we didn't treat him well here.
Yeah, I didn't like that. But besides I respect this shit. Speaking of the Mets, though, they got them projected to win 88 games, and that's with DeGrom missing at least the first 7 to 8 starts of the season.
I mean, I think at 88, I wouldn't say it's crazy because I think the division is competitive. I had them at around 90, 91. So 88, not that far off. Being the division is competitive. They have the Braves at 90 and 72, so the Mets are not that far off. The Phillies at 83 and 79. It's going to be a competitive division because even they have the Marlins at 82 wins. That tells you that four teams are going to be over 80. So they're going to be, they're going to really be getting at each other. So they have the Mets at 88. I have them more at 90, 91. Between them and the Braves battling for the division. I think whoever comes out of June, ahead, I think, from there on now, if they can continue the pace, I think they win the division. Because I think the first few months of the season are always tough for every team because you're not stretching the pitchers out all the way. And it depends on how cold the bats are because sometimes hitters don't get hot until June, July, when it starts to get warm. So at 88, it's a little low. I have a more 90, 91, but it's not that crazy.
I like the Marlins this year. I think they take a step forward. But I'm not sure. Like, 15 games is a lot to improve by. They only won 67 games last year. And they got them at 82. I think they take a step forward. They were scrappy last year. They were competitive. And Derek Jeter is no longer in the picture.
And so they picked up Joey Wendell. They picked up Soler. They got Jacob Stallings behind the plate. They have Avisel Garcia. So they picked up a lot of good players. They're going to be a tough.
Garcia's cool. He's not that good. Nah, but
they're better. They're better.
They are better. I just don't know if they're 15 games better is all I'm saying. Like, I expect them to take a step. That's what I said. Like, I expect them to take a step forward, but 15 games is a big step.
That's a huge step. I don't know if Will might know. Is Sixto Sanchez like hurt? Because I haven't seen him the whole spring or anything.
He'll be back in June.
All right. Well, yeah, that's a pretty big loss then. He's a very good pitcher, and
I think I think their front end is pretty good.
This team always gives the Mets all type of trouble. So I'll never take the Marlins for granted. The
problem really was they couldn't score, and they picked up a lot of offense. So they're gonna be pretty good. Yeah, how about the Phillies? What do you think about the Phillies?
It's the same thing I said about the Phillies a week ago. Their offense is going to be insane. I think their defense is trash. And I don't know if their rotation is good enough. Their bullpen is kind of shaky too. I mean, they got Familia. Who's closing?
They got Canebo.
I know
too.
They signed somebody.
But they got Corey Canebo.
They got Corey Canebo. They got Familia. They got Brad Hand.
Yeah.
That's their bullpen.
Brad Hand was a good pickup. Yo, and then look, They got Kyle Gibson. They got Aaron Nola. They got Zach Wheeler.
I don't like the rotation. Besides Zach Wheeler,
I think the rotation is pretty good. I don't know if I like it, but
I,
you know.
I mean, it's not the Mets rotation fully healthy, but Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Zach Eflin. But what that's not bad.
No, it is. What are you getting from Aaron Nola? Because Aaron Nola didn't look good in the 2020 shortened season. He didn't really look good last year. That's 2 years in a row. He's looked like he's getting beat up.
Man, I agree with you. There's some days he's unhittable, and then there's some days you'd be like, is this the same Aaron Nola that struck out, what was it, 10 in a row, 11 in a row against the Mets? He got a nasty curveball. So, yeah, I think we're all in agreement in which their bullpen, I mean, their rotation could be good enough, but we're not sure if it is. I'm pretty sure Zach Wheeler is going to keep doing what Zach Wheeler's been doing. He's been really good since he left. It's just that back in the bullpen.
Before he left.
Yeah, no, I know. That bullpen blew a lot of games.
He's been able to stay healthy. I think that's what it really is, that he actually stood healthy.
So now we shift over to the World Series champions.
Okay.
The Atlanta Braves.
New York Mets? Oh, you're talking about the former World Series champions. We're talking about
The reigning,
the former,
yes, the Atlanta Braves. Well, what can you say about the Braves? They lost Freddie Freeman, which a lot of people are gonna say, oh, they replaced him with Matt Olson. That could, you know, okay, they got younger. Matt Olson is good, but Freddie Freeman, to me, there's something about a guy that's been there for so long and handles the clubhouse. When you're going through a bad streak,
I think the Braves are gonna win the division. Even though I hate saying it, I think the Mets are definitely gonna be a wild card team, and they could fight for the division. The Braves last year, it wasn't a fluke. It definitely wasn't, but they had some guys that just played their ass off towards the end of the year and into the playoffs. And I just don't know if that happens again. But they did improve their bullpen. And again, to throne the champs, you got to beat them. So until somebody does, I'm going to give them the respect as the division champs. But I think the Mets have a really good chance here. I think, you know, with these injuries that happened the last couple of days, you know, some guys are coming into opening day feeling a little down, but it's a long season, and we'll see how things play out. But the Mets are going to have a really good year. I truly believe that.
I think the Mets are going to win the division. I think the Mets are going to win the NL pennant. I think the Mets lose in the World Series, though, again, and then I cry my heart out. But I'm very confident. I mean, it's hard to, like, stay confident after the news that's come out the last few days between DeGrom and Scherzer. And now fucking Taijuan Walker only, what, saw like five batters and then knee started swelling up on him. But, honestly speaking, Los, you know, I set the expectations very low every year coming into the season for the Mets. This is the first year I've been excited going into a season since at least like 2007, 2008 was probably like the last time I was like excited about the Mets going into the season. Like, yeah, we got a chance to actually make some noise. We got a chance to do something. I haven't felt like this in a long time. So I'm just going to try to stay positive, stay hopeful, and stick to my guns. This is our year to show the NL that we here. Like, not just the division. Like, we got to show everybody. The only team I'm actually truly fearful of is the Dodgers. I feel like we could beat any team in the National League in a 7-game series, except maybe the Dodgers. And I think we could still give them a run for their money. The American League, though, that's where it should get crazy over there. There's a lot of firepower. Who y'all got winning the National League pennant and the American League pennant?
Mets and the Blue Jays to me in the World Series. And the Mets losing in six.
Well, if we play the Blue Jays, we winning.
I got the Mets and the Blue Jays, and I got the Mets winning because I can't see another World Series loss, man. I can't go 0-3. So I got the Mets winning the World Series in seven. Hopefully, the Mets will have their full team in Toronto when all is said and done, but I got the Mets winning the World Series. You can call me a homer, you can call me whatever, but I got the Mets.
So you got Toronto representing the American League as well?
Yeah, Toronto and the Mets, yeah.
Okay. I like that. I think I'm with you on that. I don't know, man. I respect the Astros a lot. They gangster as fuck. Yeah, but I'm going to stick with Toronto. I'm with you. Toronto and New York, even though it's hard to, like, them Dodgers, man, them fucking Dodgers, they scary. Those Dodgers are scary. And they got the experience, man. But I think Buck wants this bad. We got a lot of competitive players that haven't ever even been to a World Series, let alone won a World Series. So, and then you got a few guys that have been there and lost. You got a few guys that have been there and won. So I think we got the right mixture of veterans and young guys and people that are just fucking hungry and really want to win, man, and going to work their ass off to get there. The only thing I'm really concerned about is the pitching staff staying healthy and Cano convincing one of these young guys to shoot up. Besides that, I'm not really too concerned, man.
We couldn't get through one episode without Cano.
Nah.
By the way, I don't know if they play tomorrow, but if they do, they win tomorrow. That's it. The Mets win opening.
7 o'clock.
They play tomorrow. It got postponed to 7, live on Apple TV for free.
No. That's Friday's game. Friday's game's Apple TV.
Oh, I thought it was the opener. But yeah, so that one got pushed back. It was supposed to be 4 o'clock, but it got pushed back to 7. So we play the Nationals, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usual shit. We gonna smoke them. Tyler McGill. Watch out for Tyler McGill. He's going to have a hell of a season opener.
I like him, too. I think he's going to be real good this year.
I'm not one who's, like, super, super high on the lineup, but Will points out all the time that they're going to be really good. So I'm just going to wait and see. But, you know, I think they're going to be way better than they've been, you know, the last year and a half because –
If I have any concern about the lineup is that we don't have enough power here. We don't have enough power. But I'm kind of okay with that because we've always had power but couldn't get nobody on base. So it's like it was either solo. It was mostly like solo or two-run home runs like or a bunch of strikeouts and groundouts. So the fact that we got a lot of guys that can get on base in various ways, I'll take it, bro. But we got to find a way to add some more power.
We will. When August comes and they see it, they'll pick up and add some guys. So I'm not really too worried about it.
Oh, no. Nah, yeah. I trust Billy Epler. It's only been a short while, only been a few months. But everything that has happened so far, I'm comfortable with the decision making of this front office and this coaching staff.
All right. So we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by our special guest, Dr. Brar, to talk about the Jacob deGrom injury and a little more.
How's everything with you, Dr. Bra?
It's good, man. It's good. I'm a Dodger fan, so we're looking pretty good this year. So, and for foreseeable future, right? So, can't complain. And it's also about 7 degrees out here, so can't complain.
All right, before we get started, since you're a Dodgers fan, I don't know if you noticed, but MLB.com put out an article, top 10 starting rotations in the MLB, and the Dodgers were left off of it. How do you feel about that?
I think it's fair, right? Because the back end of our rotation is a question mark. And so they'll try to figure it out. But I think right now it makes sense until they kind of figure out who's going to be in that 4-5 slot. And we all know it's a long regular season. So you're looking for some of that pitching depth. So the Dodgers have it. I'm not that concerned because they have definitely a few guys who can fill in, whether it's Gonsolin, whether it's May returning from injury, a couple of other guys who are pitching well, but I understand why they're not rated there right now.
Okay. See, I like that. You're level-headed. You're not a typical LA guy. You're level-headed with your team. Okay. That's what's up. Before we get started, I've been following you for a while on Twitter, so I know what you do, but why don't you tell the listeners who you are and what you do exactly?
Yeah, sure. So essentially, you know, I'm a sports physio that works with athletes, of course, on injury, but return to sport, also with sports performance as well. My background's also in sports science. And so just kind of a combination of all those things, you know, the key thing is really across the entire spectrum. It's working to get people back from injury and then keeping them there and healthy and then, you know, helping them perform better too. So, you know, it's, I try to be a hybrid and also, you know, one of my passions is trying to break down stuff for people who aren't in the medical world, right? That's probably why I'm here, so.
Yeah, exactly. So for starters, Jacob deGrom was diagnosed with a stress reaction in his right scapula. First mm-hmm. of all, a lot of people probably don't know exactly what a scapula is. And what exactly is a stress reaction? How common are these in athletes?
Yeah, so the scapula is basically your shoulder blade. So you know, that's what this, it's the medical term for that. Stress reaction in the scapula for athletes is quite rare. And so it's not something you see very often. I can't remember the last person that I heard even had it. And so essentially what a stress reaction is, there's something called the bone stress injury spectrum. And basically a stress reaction is a precursor to a stress fracture. And so they're lucky they caught it early, because if it was a stress fracture, it's going to be even longer timeline. That's also why they're being so conservative with him, is because they don't want it to evolve further. I think the rare part about the scapula is that you just don't, you know, it's typically an overhead athletes, but you still don't see it that often. The thing with the scapula, especially in pitching, is that there's a lot of muscles attached to the scapula that pull on the scapula, especially what we call like the deceleration phase. So when you're throwing and then you're decelerating, there's a lot of stress on the back of your shoulder, on that shoulder blade. And that's oftentimes when those muscles are pulling on the scapula consistently and it overloads it, it can cause some weakness in that bone. And that's what it looks like happened with DeGrom.
So where do we go from here? What is the best way for him to recover and get back to normal strength? And is it likely that he'll even be able to be back to his old self?
I mean, yeah, really, it's like imagine if you had a stress reaction, any other part of the body, they shut you down and they want that bone to start healing, right? Because if you keep pulling on it, if you keep loading it, it's never going to heal. So you have to allow that bone to heal, and they'll have imaging on it until they see that it's healing, and they'll start him up on a throwing program again, right? That's going to be gradually building up his tolerance. And we've seen that before with DeGrom in terms of him coming back from injury. So the key thing is just building him back up gradually. And I think he'll be motivated to pitch, because obviously he said he's going to opt out after the season. So the key thing though is patience up front. You can't push through a stress reaction. It will lead to something worse.
What would be a realistic timeline for him? Because I know a lot of people are saying maybe end of May, maybe June. I thought more of a July to be more conservative, knowing that it's a stress reaction and it, you know, it takes time to heal. What would be like a normal timeline for some, especially an athlete, you know?
Yeah, especially an athlete like him. He throws, I mean, it puts a lot of stress on that thing. So I would think, honestly, realistically, I'd be looking early to mid-June to be conservative with it. And so that's what I would think that is actually a realistic timeline for him.
When it comes to the problems he had last year, this is something obviously different. I saw somewhere that they're going to give him 4 weeks before mm-hmm. they look at the imaging again. Let's just say for whatever reason, after the 4 weeks, they're not happy with what they see with the imaging. Is it just more rest on top of that? Yep. And then whenever they get the imaging they like, then they go on to step two from there?
Correct. So you have to allow the bone to heal as it will, right? Some people heal faster, some people heal slower. And so, like you said, 4 weeks, you check if it's healing well, you keep going. If it's not, you got to give them more time.
Would you be more conservative with him, being that he's had a Tommy John and certain other, you know, issues on that side of the arm? Are you like more cautious than you would be with anybody else because of progressive injuries?
I think it's hard to say that unless you're the one actually in there testing him, right? Because you see a lot of guys come back from Tommy John now, and they don't really have any other issues. Like, the rehab has gotten much, much better. So it really comes down to what else you're seeing now. If you're seeing some changes in mechanics or whatever it is, right, which can show some alterations from those injuries, then yeah. But if you're seeing that he's returned kind of where he's at previously, then you have to go based on what you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be 34 years old in a couple months. So I'm not expecting like such a quick recovery. He's not a young spry chicken anymore. I'm a little concerned, to be honest, because this came out of nowhere. He said his arm was feeling strong. It was feeling healthy. And he's dealt with the injuries last year in that same arm. So it's pretty alarming.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that and that. But a lot of times with stress reactions, you don't feel it until you feel it. So him saying that doesn't really mean anything to me. I've seen people like, I feel great. And then you image them and they have an overt stress fracture. So what someone tells me, you always take it with a grain of salt.
So with his 4 weeks of doing absolutely nothing, right? No, because I'm assuming he won't be able to lift weights or anything. He's not going to be allowed to put any stress on that arm. So should we be worried about any muscle atrophy? Is he going to have to do like a bunch of strengthening and stretching like regimens before he's allowed to start throwing again?
They'll probably do some. They'll do some strength training, but they're going to limit anything that puts any load on that scapula. So they're going to try to keep his fitness up. They'll probably, you know, do more forearm training and there's that nature. But yeah, and part of the ramp up process is exactly that, right? You're not just ramping up his throwing, but you're ramping up his strength and conditioning too.
Well, I have a broader question. It also brings up last year, because last year we heard he got about 3 or 4 MRIs, and for some reason it was like they all came back clean. And I, as a fan, as nobody, you know, I'm not into the medical stuff, I figure, how is that possible where you can have so many MRIs? He's saying, you know, they feel something. And is it frustrating when you can't figure out what it was? Or I figured also that they were probably, it was bad news and they probably were keeping it from the fans. But then again, 3-4 MRIs, you know, is that normal?
Like, I wouldn't say
so much testing them and not know.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they did 3-4 MRIs in the first place tells you it's probably frustrating because they're trying to figure out what's going on, right? Because he's probably saying, hey, dude, this doesn't feel right. And he knows his body very, very well. He's done a pitching motion how many thousands, millions times in his life, right? And so you're trying to figure out that. And is it normal? Not typically, right? But is it, you know, have I heard of it happening before? Yeah, absolutely.
Is it most likely due to too much inflammation in the area?
In this case? So the inflammation...
Like with the arm.
It depends. Inflammation is a reaction to something. It's a symptom. It's not... Like in this case with the scapula, for example, it's inflamed. Why is it inflamed? Because he's having a stress reaction. The inflammation is the reaction to something.
No. Yeah, I understand. I'm saying, can the inflammation distort the image? So, like, if there's too much inflammation in the area, would it be harder for them to get a clear image from the MRI to see what is the cause of everything?
Yeah, it could. But typically, you don't have, like, that much inflammation in your arm to that extent. That's more so, like, if you have, let's say, like, a knee ligament damage. So it's certainly possible, but if you're doing 3 or 4 and you're working on getting that inflammation sorted out, typically it's okay.
Should we expect to see an injury like this become more common? I know you said that it's a very rare injury for it to happen like in this particular area, but it seems like it's mainly been caused by how hard he's throwing. And over the last few years, you've seen the trend where pitchers are throwing harder and harder, and we're starting to see a lot more flamethrowers. And I'm wondering, is this going to end up being like Tommy John, where it happened every once in a while, and then more and more players start suffering the same injury because they're all doing the same stuff and putting too much torque or too much stress on the joint?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That's so hard for me to say, right? And so it certainly could be. But I don't know if
it's. Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot like that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And we don't even know where exactly it is on the scapula, right? There's different parts along the scapula that have different attachments, different muscles. So we'll never probably know that. So that varies as well. So there's lots of nuances to it. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's definitely guys throwing harder and harder, but at the same time, you know, the strength and conditioning techniques and recovery techniques have advanced considerably as well at the same time, right? To help these guys manage that amount of load. And then, you know, I mean, we all know, like, I mean, just from a mechanics perspective, technology has come so far where you can kind of see the specific mechanics, the specific torque on different body parts as well. So there, I mean, it's kind of a give and take. Guys are probably throwing harder for all these reasons, but yeah, there's always going to be a downside to it as well.
The more you explain things, the more I feel like the Mets are just doing a disservice to their players with the training facilities and whoever's working in the strength and conditioning department, because literally every single year they deal with so many injuries, and it's mostly to the pitchers. And it's like, if everything is so advanced, then why is it so common here?
Yeah, I can't even say if it's common or not. I have to look at the data. Everyone tells me that their strength and conditioning staff is terrible. Every fan I talk to is like, man, our staff sucks. And so I have to look at the actual data on that. I mean, I think the big one that I know was kind of messed up was Syndergaard, because he was doing a lot of heavy lifting that ended up affecting him. Other than Syndergaard, I don't know it well enough, and I don't know what the protocols look like, so I can't really speak on that.
Yeah, me neither, but it's like, you see like a guy like DeGrom, who they always talk about how much he knows, how well in tune he is with his body and everything, and how much he takes care of himself. And then over the last few years, we've seen him miss time because of back stiffness, neck stiffness, stiffness in his lats. And then he started dealing with the forearm stiffness and inflammation, and now this. And it's like, what the hell?
But, you know, but it could be a matter of his wear and tear on his body, right? Like with the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw was, you know, has had back issues as well. He had some elbow issues over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years as well. So these are guys who have been throwing for a while that can add up, even when you had, and the Dodgers have a pretty good history with their injury history. But sometimes, man, you know, pitching can be rough on the body, man, especially when you're throwing.
Because it's not a normal function. Your body's not meant to
throw a baseball. Not like that. Hard. Yeah. And, you know, if you examine a pitcher, like arm to arm, like if you examine their throwing arm versus their non-throwing arm, there's huge asymmetry. So it kind of just tells you the effect that it has on your body.
So, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to ask you about Max Scherzer. Like, sure. Should we be concerned about Scherzer? He dealt with the whole dead arm issue last year, and he seemed to ramp up pretty freaking fast this spring, even given the long layoff. I'm pretty sure he was still working out on the side outside of those meetings, but to see him ramp up so fast in spring training, and he's like 37, I believe, now. And then he goes down with hamstring injury. He says that he's just being conservative and being cautious. But should we be concerned? And can you try to explain why hamstring injuries are so tricky?
Yeah, so I think it's there's some concern. So again, Max being a Dodger, I know it well. He tired out over his last five starts in the regular season. He was already tired. His velo was down. His effectiveness was way down. The dead arm was really because Doc decided to pitch him in a game versus the Giants in that game five. And then it kind of just threw off his whole schedule. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it, like we talked about, he's also 37. He has a lot of innings on his arm as well. He's an interesting guy in terms of some of his practices, right? I think he's one of those guys who wants to keep going. And so sometimes you need to pull the reins back on him a little bit, and we'll see how New York can have the Mets handle that. Right. So that's an interesting dynamic. You know, in terms of hamstrings, they're really sensitive because there's just a lot of load on them. And so it's not, you have something you have to be proactive about or it will get worse on you. And so I haven't looked into it enough, or I haven't seen the information on it that tells us how severe it sounds like. They're just being cautious and proactive about it. But pitchers do put a lot of load on their legs. They're torquing through those legs, right? And so that puts a lot of demands on those muscles. So that's why you do want to be conservative with him, especially if he's now supposed to be the top of your, you know, the top of your starting pitching order with DeGrom out. So
thank you for answering our questions.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Not a problem.
Thanks a lot for coming on, Dr. Brar. Well, I guess that's it for this episode of the Rotten Apple Sports Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all next week. Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.